So, Rob, why don't you tell us how Zoo Music got its start, and how did you get the name as well?
Zoo Music started probably a year or two ago. My band that I was in since a teenager fell apart, as they inevitably do. And I think I was just looking for a change. I always loved electronic music ever since being in a kind of a rock progressive band. And it was just something that I made like on the side just to help out with production for my band. I always just enjoyed it, but like quite casually. And when my band fell apart, I just felt like I needed to do something that was different and that was going to fulfill my needs creatively. So I took the drummer from my previous band, and I'd met a lot of musicians in London over the years being a sound engineer. Took these guys into the studio and just started improvising like hip hop beats. And then I took those beats away that we recorded on real instruments and made it into like banging electronic music.
Nice. So, now, how did that lead up to your new single, Ain't No Sunshine?
Yeah, so I did that and then not got bored, but moved on. I'm trying to always push things further forward. It's quite difficult to manage a band which is of like 12 people, you know, brass players, guitar players, drummers, two drummers, you know, all of these people. So I just wanted to go back to my roots in terms of making electronic music and just create something that I feel was pushing at the highest level of my personal ability, because before I was relying on these great musicians to play their instruments really well, and that was what was giving me the fundamental sound. But I wanted to challenge myself this time around to see how good I can make the electronic aspects and see how far I can push the production of that. So that was really the vibe that I was going with on my next single.
Nice, nice. Now, is it quite a switch to go from a huge band to just yourself, where everything comes down to what you do?
Yeah, I think I do struggle working by myself. I really like working with other musicians. It's just always been my passion to work with other people, because like, you can be the best like guitarist in the world sat in your bedroom playing, but like if you're not on stage with three other dudes, like kind of no one really cares, and quite rightfully so, you know. So making a track by myself is, I mean, it wasn't really by myself, to be honest, because I got a rapper from New York, my friend Johnny Voltic, to come to the studio and lay some bars on that. So that was really cool to just kind of do the track, but not finish. It wasn't finished when he came down, so he had a bit of input, and we collaborated a bit on that. Yeah, so it wasn't totally in a vacuum, but it was a little bit of a challenge just working on stuff 100% by myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you describe new music sound, being that you are the sole creator?
The sound of the band, the sound of my music?
Yes.
I would say that it is a culmination of my influences. It's a representation of going to raves in London. It's the sound of electronic music as I hear it right now, and it's a constant progression that as things start influencing me more, I'm just going to include that and move forward with whatever is really inspiring me at the time. So it's a constant evolution, but right now I just feel like it's an amalgamation of not only influences in terms of some record that Machine Drum or Pretty Lights or, you know, Cone Sound or OPO has put out. It's also like I'm putting my experiences, as in this rave was sick, and I vaguely remember like some track from a party that I went to, and I'm trying to like remember what those feelings were and put them into my own music. So it's not just like directly from specific artists, but it's also from cultural you know, things which are happening in my city that I love. So
mm-hmm. Now what is the music scene like in London right now? I mean, how warm are they to the whole drum and bass culture?
I don't know, man. London's a strange one. I think it's the best city in the world to live for music. Maybe not the type of music I make, but people have been pretty like receptive of it. I know there's some great producers out there right now. There's a guy that I'm just vibing off called Swindle. He makes very similar music to me. A lot of like brass, but a lot of kind of down tempo, dirty garage, UK garage, funky, like bass. I'll just call it bass music, really. And that's just doing really well. I've seen him DJ a few times, and my shows are, you know, have been pretty good. Like we played a couple of really great shows recently. So I think the scene is fantastic, to be honest, man. I mean, just I'm constantly out, like several days a week. I'm going to shows, so it can't be that bad.
And the London audiences are pretty welcoming to new sounds, are they not?
Yeah, I would say so. I think if you're shit, they will let you know. Like people will walk away, and like they're unforgiving. But you can play what you want here, man. And if it's good, they will let you know that it's good. And if it's bad, they'll let you know it's bad. So it's kind of unforgiving, but also at the same time, just I feel like you can do your thing here, man. And people aren't just going to be like, look, we just only like house music. If you're not playing house, go somewhere else. It's there's so much culture here. There's so many different sounds here in it. So it's a good thing, place to live, really.
Now self made musicians such as yourself utilize new media in ways that just 10 years ago were unheard of. How do you think the internet and social media has helped or hurt the music industry from your perspective?
I think personally, it has changed things. I wouldn't say help. Would be a word. I would say that change is something to be embraced. I certainly embrace it, and I'm an advocate for, you know, music being on the internet and the implications that that has. I would say that the big change that I've noticed, even from being a kid, is when I was a kid, there was like massive bands like Metallica, there was massive bands like, you know, whoever it is that captured a huge audience. And now there's a lot of bands that have got Soapbox, a huge amount of artists that are out there putting their stuff on SoundCloud, putting their stuff on Bandcamp, YouTube. And it means that maybe the audiences for each of these great producers are getting smaller and smaller because there's more of these artists out there. So it's not like I just don't think there's going to be so many huge breakthrough artists. Obviously the last few years there's been dudes like Skrillex who's really pushed through, but I think that there's going to be less and less of that, and there is less and less of that. There's just a lot more artists, and the audiences are then kind of just squeezed a little bit, which is cool, man, because you're getting like sort of groups and cultures and subcultures within subcultures within subcultures. And it's nice to just discover these new artists and discover these new venues and like waves of stuff which are completely underground but are like really important to certain people. And it might be a small group of people, but it's really culturally important. So I like that about the internet. It's made things a little bit fairer.
Yeah, precisely. Now, do you think the days of the next U2 or the Beatles or the Rolling Stones are over?
Yes, I think so. I think unless you invent a new genre, and some people have invented new genres, such as like footwork has come around and is quite big in the UK. I mean, you know, artists like Machine Drum pushing the footwork genre. There's no reason why he shouldn't be as big as like Skrillex or Metallica or whoever. But I just don't think it's going to happen, no matter how good you are, unless you like, I can't even picture what the music would be. I just don't think there is ever going to be people that big, you know, again so frequently.
Yeah, well, and if you think about it, the big acts throughout history, you know, at the very start needed to be on a major label to get heard, and now you don't need that. You can upload to SoundCloud, and if enough people hear it, a million people will hear it, and you know, 2 million, 3 million, so on and so forth. So do you think the days of the major label are even needed at this point?
So tricky to answer that question, because as a sound engineer, I've toured with major label artists, and it's I literally don't know what to say to that question. I think I would be foolish to say that I could grasp that as a whole concept. Like, are major labels going to stay around forever? I think, who knows? I think, do you need them? Absolutely not. Will they be there as an entity forever? Probably, because there are a lot of people which watch the TV and will just buy whatever is advertised. You know, that's why like advertising on TV works. That's why it's 25 grand to put a 30-second advert up. It's kind of always going to be there, I think, but it's not a necessity for new artists.
Do you think maybe it comes down to how much of the business side you want to handle? If you, you know, are on a major label, like, they will take care of the money and the publicity and all that stuff, and you can just concentrate on the music?
Yeah, I think it's a fast track. Like, major labels can take a new artist and break them within a year. It might take an independent artist 10 years. I mean, someone like Bonobo, who's huge now, touring the world, I remember reading about him saying it, like, it took him like 10, 15 years of just solid progression. So it was very small steps, but always forward, always upwards. And it took him like 10, 15 years. And maybe if he'd got signed to a major in his first 2 years, he would have broken much earlier. He might have not had as long a career, but also his music might not sound the way that it does, man. So it's all about the journey. And if you want to have a true journey that is difficult, hard, but fulfilling and worthwhile, then I'd probably stick as an independent artist. But if you want fame, just go for the big deal.
So, given the chance, would you join a major label if Virgin or Atlantic came to you tomorrow and said, you know, we'll give you the standard first label, you know, first record, you know, deal? Would you take it?
Yeah, you sent me this question over, and I thought about this one.
That's a thinking question, if you think about it.
It is. And you know what? I would sign the deal. I would have a great 3 years. I would get sacked from the label in 3 years' time, be broke, and just carry on as I always did, man. I'd probably take it for the ride that it was, know that it wouldn't last forever, and just carry on afterwards, man.
So you'd do it for the resume value then?
So I just do it for the jokes, man. I just like really funny to come back to my housemates and say, dude, I got signed to Sony or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, make them get up and do stuff for a while.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about your new single, Ain't No Sunshine. What's the song about, and how did you come up with the music behind it? Because it's got a really intricate beat to it, in my opinion. It's very detailed. I mean, and that's what I like too, because it's not something that's just a simple groove. I mean, there's undertones in it.
Cool. So this track came around, I was digging for samples. I always like listening to what I'd call kind of retro music. This track had just always been in my mind. Like, the original is by Bill Withers, and just the vocal, everything about it was just pure hip-hop. Even obviously it was made before hip-hop even was around, but it just seemed like a pure hip-hop track to me, man. And like, I make electronic hip-hop, so I just took this sample, started to make a beat, and I realized it just flourished. Like, the ideas just didn't stop. And this track is just like a condensed version of like 10 different ideas, which all flowed out of this one inspiration from the original sample. And I tried to not have the sample throughout the whole track, because I wanted to show that, like, I'm my own producer. I'm not relying. I don't rely on there to maybe connect with new listeners, because they've got something which is familiar. Everybody knows that Bill Withers track, whether you know that was Bill Withers or not. You've heard it on the adverts. You've heard it somewhere in your life. You've heard that track. So you can relate to that instantly. And then when someone like me comes along and flips it up, it's kind of like you've got that relatable information, but you've also got this brand new thing which might shock people and surprise people. So that's kind of my angle on it, really.
Nice. Now, how does your music translate live, in your opinion, versus on record? I mean, what's it like going to a Zoom music show?
Zoo music shows are full of live instruments. So I've got my drummer Jake plays live with me. I've got a sax player who plays live with me. I've got myself, I play live bass. I've got Johnny Voltic's going to come to my next show on Saturday and spit the single. So it's just like, I don't know, man. It's a band, but it's not a band. It's me and whoever of my friends is around and in town, like, can jump on and we'll have fun. It's really loud. It's energetic. It's dance floor. Like, yeah, it's just there to, like, we're there to make people have a good time and there to dance, not to be the stars or be the entertainer. So, kind of thing. We're just there to, like, be part of a party, and we just like to think of our gigs as parties, really, rather than like come see us as people. We're just like, let's come down, everyone get together, have some drinks, and we'll just play you some music and let's get grooving, really.
Now, you just came from a show tonight before the interview, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, I mean, what was the audience like, man? Were you guys like drenched in panties or what?
No, it wasn't my show. I wasn't playing. I just went to go see my friend's band.
Ah, okay, but you might be at the point where that could happen at other shows too. You know, you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I just try to stay grounded, man. Like, if some girls want to do that, that's cool. But like, yeah, it's all about the music for me, really. Like, yeah, playing gigs, I've got my mind on one thing, and that's just like playing the stuff that makes me feel good. Yeah.
Now speaking of shows, what do you have coming up? I mean, let's talk about that because you're booking currently.
Yeah, so at the moment, this single is basically a way to try and book some stuff because we had a pretty good year in 2015 for shows. Like, we just played Paris in December, which was amazing for our new label that we just signed with. Played a boat party out there, which was just unbelievably good fun. We've been playing London quite a bit, just like some low-key shows just to test our set out, really. So 2016, we've got a few rumors of like festival bookings over here. Got a few things in the pipeline. Like I say, Saturday's going to be a good show around the corner from my house. But yeah, I'm just, if anybody's out there that's a promoter, a festival booker, that wants to check us out, we are ready to gig, man, and we're ready to throw down some party vibes. So, yeah.
Nice. Now you're playing the Finsbury this Saturday, right around the corner from where you live, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, yep, and that's the Finsbury in London, man. That's probably going to be a hopping show, man. I wish there wasn't an ocean dividing us right now, so I could go check that out.
Yeah, that should be good.
So, well, where can we find you online?
So online, I'm on Facebook at /i.am.zoo.music. SoundCloud is the same. Just search Zoo Music on SoundCloud. Just Google Zoo Music, man. I'm on like the whole front page and the second page. Just
and everything.
Z-U-U Music, yeah.
Great. Well, thanks, Rob, for being on the show today. I really appreciate it, man. Best of luck to you. I love the single, and I think we're gonna start hearing from you over here soon, hopefully.
Hopefully, man. I just want to say thanks for picking up artists such as myself and giving us the chance to have a chat with you, man. Because like people like me can't get anywhere without help from guys like you. So, like, massive props.